Welcome to another podcast by Dr. Dennis Smith, Senior Pastor of Covenant Life Ministries. To find out more, go to lifeinfocustv.com.
Amen, amen. We are in our series now, Positioned for Blessing. In fact, it's a theme for our entire year, 2017. Of seeing our lives come into a place, come into a position to be walking in God's will and to receive from Him and to experience His very best in our lives. It's a year of breakthrough. It's a year of overflow. It's a year of overcoming. Now, it may not look like that around in the world right now. And it may not look like that in your life right now. But still, I believe that it's true. And God wants us to move our lives into a place where we can receive from Him. What if God wants to bless you, and He does, but He can't? And what if the enemy, Satan, is stealing from you because you're not positioned for blessing? And what if your own attitudes and actions stand in the way of God doing what He wants to do in your life? Positioning is very valuable in our lives. A satellite needs to be positioned correctly in order to receive the signal. The transponder must be in the right place in order to send the signal. To transmit and receive the signal, position is extremely important for radio, television, other media devices. We see this in the workplace. It's important for you for a worker to be in the right position for the most productivity and the most potential and the most profit. It's important in sports for a ball team to have people playing in the position where they are their best. In the church, it's important that people will find the place where God has called them and exercise the gifts that God has given them. And have you ever tried to lift something and you've been standing in the wrong position while you're lifting it? It can hurt. It hurts sometimes being out of that position. God's blessings are for us if we come into the place where we can receive. Now, last week we went back into 1 Kings chapter 17 and we visited there with Elijah, who comes to King Ahab and he makes this declaration that people have turned from God, that there's a lot of worship going, Baal worship going on, idol worship. He makes a declaration before the king that it's not going to rain there until he says it's going to rain. Elijah says, it won't rain here until I say so. Elijah went to Ahab with a word from the Lord. And after making that extraordinary announcement, God says, now I need you to go somewhere. And last week we talked about a place called there. And he said, I need you to go there. And for that season of his life, there was by the brook Cherith or Cherith. He said, go by this brook and I'll supply water for you to drink. Go to the place called there where I will send ravens. Amazing. I will send ravens to bring food to you every morning and every evening. And Elijah obeyed the Lord and he went to the place called there where God had called him to go. And God's provision, God's blessing was there. Why? Because he was in the right position where God had called him. And sure enough, for a period of time, we're not sure how long, the water flowed in the brook. And the food was delivered twice daily from the ravens. Elijah was sustained. Elijah was blessed, even though to some that would not seem like a great blessing. His needs were met. He was blessed. And so it's important for us to, in our attitude, in our hearts, in our being where God wants us to be, doing what God wants us to do, it's important for us to be in that place because it's a place of promise, it's a place of provision, it's a place of protection, and it's a place where God can prepare you for what's ahead. Now, today we continue, just for a few moments, we continue in 1 Kings chapter 17, but we pick up in verse 6. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 6 in the New King James Version. Follow along with me there if you will. The ravens brought Elijah bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So everything's good, just like God said it would be. Then in verse 7, and it happened, or literally, that says, after a while, after a certain appointed season, the brook dried up. Well, naturally, that's going to happen if there is a drought taking place. The brook dries up. And by the way, I think the ravens stopped delivering food. And when this happened, Elijah was in trouble. But just as that happened in that place, when the brook dried up and the ravens didn't deliver food anymore, then verse 8 it says, then when Elijah came to a point to where he was not walking in God's will, in his provision and his blessing, then the word of the Lord came to him and said, okay, your time there is finished. It's time for you to move. I've got another place for you. I've got another ministry for you. I've got another situation for you to learn in. And so that's what we find in verse 8. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Now, as we mentioned before, Zarephath, of course, Zarephath actually means smelting furnace. It's a place of refining. And this is kind of what's happening in Elijah's life. He learned to trust God for supernatural provision. He had times of quietness, times alone while he was by the brook. It was a time to prepare him for what was going to come ahead, what was to be ahead in his life. Then he's called to this place called Zarephath, of all places in the world. And here, something else is happening. God's continuing to refine him and work in his life and prepare him for what's ahead. It's a strange command to go to Zarephath. It was a Gentile nation, kind of the hometown area for wicked Jezebel. It was a land of idolaters, and it was some 100 miles away from where he was. So it wasn't a convenient place to be going. He says, go to Zarephath and see there. See, I have commanded, I have instructed a widow to provide for you. Now, isn't it great to be able to hear from God? But are there times when it seems that the Lord is speaking to you, but it's just not sure where it's the Lord or not? Are there times that that happens and you don't know whether it's you or God? Are there times that when that happens where when you think God has spoken to you that what he says just doesn't seem to make sense? This is probably what happened to Elijah. Does it make sense that you'll send someone to a strange place, to of all people, a widow, because they were the poorest of poor, and say, this is where I want you to go. This is where you'll be positioned for me to do what I want to do. What an amazing word. But Elijah heard what he said. He says, there I have, he's already commanded, I've already commanded a widow to provide for you. Verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and get this, and when he came to the gate, the entrance of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord God, your God, lives, I don't have any bread except a handful of flour in the bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks right now to build a fire and prepare the small amount of food for myself and my son that we may eat and then die. This is all we have. Now, naturally, she was a mother. Her first concern would be for her son. She was already a widow. Alone. She had one son that we know of. She had this son. And what would you do if you were the mother and you had enough to feed your food to your son or to someone that you've just met? She had to know this was a word from God, and she had to have heard that God said, I want you to do this. But she was still struggling. How many times can you hear from the Lord, but you still struggle with some things about whether to obey it or not? She said, this is all I've got. We were going to eat it, and then we were just going to die because there's no other way. There's no other answer. In verse 13, and Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go ahead and do as you've said, Go ahead and do as you said, but make me a small cake from it first. From the flour that's there, from the oil that's there, make me a small cake first and bring it to me. There's a lot of preachers to be criticized for that. To say, what do you mean? These people have needs. What do you mean asking for help? What do you mean asking them for gifts or donations? What do you mean with that? And there are some pastors, Christians, and leaders who take advantage of people. That's true. But this man of God says, and he's got to know what's in his heart. He's not trying to steal anything from this widow. And get this, when God asks you to give something, he's not trying to take anything from you or steal something from you. He's trying to get you into a place and position where he can give more to you. Amen. And that's what was happening. Elijah was trying to convince her or to talk to her to listen to what the Lord's told you and get into a position to just simply trust God. He says, go do what you've said. And then after you do that, now mind you, she said, I've just got enough for maybe a little bit for me, for my son. He says, now after you make some for me, then make some for yourself and for your son. For thus saith the Lord, you need to know when you're moving, when you're standing, when God has called you to stay or go or to change something in your life, whatever it is, you need to have a word from the Lord. Now, we got the Bible. That definitely is a word from the Lord. We need time in the Word. We need prayer. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to come to a place to where when the Lord speaks to us, we hear what He says. Hearing clearly a word of God can save your life. It can keep you from making terrible mistakes. How important it is for you and I as believers to learn to hear from Him. Here's the promise, verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour that you have shall never be used, it will not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth and there's other provision available to you. So she went away, and here's the key, she did according to the word of Elijah, which we could say she did according to the word of the Lord that had been given to Elijah. And she and her household, and evidently there were some other family members, outside family members, a larger extended family, she and her entire household were able to eat and be provided for this entire time. It says for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of God. You see, Elijah was in the right place there by the brook, but it ran dry. Someone said Elijah attended and graduated from Dry Brook University, but then his training wasn't over, so he enrolled in Empty Barrel Graduate School. Often life will take you along a difficult way, a pathway, ways you don't understand at that time. John 16:33, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have troubles, you're going to have tribulations, you're going to have trials, but don't get upset about it. Don't get worried. Don't be fearful, because I have overcome the world, he says. And get this, because he has overcome, you as his follower and you with his word, you with the name of Jesus, you with the power of the Holy Spirit, you overcome. You overcome. So very quickly, will you take a look at four things with me? Just going to hit on those very quickly. Four things that you need to do. Four things to remember when your brook runs dry. First of all, remember or know that God is with you, no matter where it feels like it or not. Even when it seems like you are doubting and wondering what's happened to God and what's going on here, you need to know that God is faithful and God is with you. Psalm 23 is so familiar, I think we miss the power, significance of it sometimes. But the Lord is our shepherd. He takes care of us as his sheep. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul. He leads us in the right paths for his name's sake. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you, Lord, are with me. Hebrews 13, 5, the Bible says, Jesus, the word of the Lord comes to us and says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Take just a second here. Let me share the amplified version of that and get this. I will never, under any circumstances, desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless, nor will I forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you, assuredly not. And that's the tenor of that verse there in the Greek. This is over and over and over. I will never in this way. I will never in this way. I will never in this. I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you. You can count on it. So first of all, no matter what situation you find yourself in today, you need to remember, you need to acknowledge that God has not given up on you. He's not forsaken you. He's right there with you. He hurts when you hurt. He is concerned about your needs. He's concerned about the things that you're facing in your life. And not only is he concerned, he's given you a way to do something about it. And he's given himself to be available to take care of that. And know that God is with you. The second thing, when the brook dries up, you need to be prepared to move out of your comfort zone. Amen. Move out of Abraham was there with his family where he'd grown up. And then one day, God called Abraham and he told him to leave that comfort zone, leave home. And what did he say? Go to a place that I will show you. Now some, he didn't know where he was going except he was going wherever God showed him. He was going to go in the position where he would learn to walk in the covenant blessings of God. It takes great faith to say, look, I want you to move out of your comfort zone. I want you to do this. I want you to change this in your life. And by the way, this is only for today. When you take another step, that's going to be for that day. I'm not necessarily going to tell you what's going to happen next week or next month. That's unnecessary. In the walk of faith, you just need to know today and have promises for tomorrow. Understand that God wants us to move out of our comfort zone. Jesus came to the disciples while they were doing their thing, while they were involved at fishing or a tax collector or whatever their job was. And when they had that encounter with Christ, something changed forever. And they moved out of their present situation and they moved into a place that was totally new to them, totally different. And look at the blessings. Look at the blessings of God in their life because they said, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. When Jesus said, follow me, they said, yes, sir, I will. It's dangerous for you and I to become stale in status in our Christian faith. Let me ask you today. We all have dealt with this from time to time. You get busy doing all kinds of other stuff. You get involved and bombarded with things in your life every day. And it seems like you come to a time where you're just living in that little world. It's the same day after day after day with some minor changes perhaps. But you find that life is just life. One day after another, one week after another. You may take a step forward from time to time, but it doesn't really seem like you're getting anywhere. There's no sense. Strong sense of purpose, no strong sense of the power of God in your life or what God wants you to do in the coming days of your life. It's so easy to just find ourselves drifting into a place of indifference and complacency and spiritual sleep. You don't coast as a Christian. Salvation is a gift from God. We don't work to attain it. But when you come to Christ and he changes your heart, you can't just lay back and coast because you have an enemy that's come against you called the devil, Satan. You can't just coast because you live in a fallen world where you are bombarded with darkness every day and with attempts to pull you away from the relationship that you could have with the Lord. You can't just say, I'll just settle for the same old. Isn't it easy to get comfortable? It's easy. For anybody that has a great recliner, it's easy to get comfortable. For any of you that kind of got your family plan and your habits, though they may be very good, it's easy to get comfortable because it's easy to get to a place where this is just the way we've always done it. And we just begin, actually, time just passes while we stay in our comfort zone. But let me tell you, God's got something so much better. God wants to challenge you today to move out of that place of status quo. Do something different. Do something God's challenging you to do right now. Let him do something in your heart and get to a place to where you have a deeper commitment, different place in him than you've ever had before. We have one comfort zone we're supposed to stay in as Christians, and that is in the presence of God. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. Get out of your comfort zone. Look, expect God to do something different. Expect God to do something new. Expect God to do something powerful. Expect something better than where you are now. Though where you are now may be very good. Don't stay there. It happens to churches. We have property and buildings and material and equipment and wonderful group of folks, beautiful people like you. You know, pretty much filling up the building, you know, and if everybody ever showed up at the same time, we would more than fill up the building. But as I said before, we've all agreed not to do that. We're going to take turns. But it is important that you would get to this place. Look, with more finances, there's a lot more things we could do. But we're blessed where we are, and bills are paid, and there's plenty of money. And this gives us opportunities to reach out and do things as a church. And you know about some of them. Hopefully you can go to our webpage and see all the other things that you do as a church. Those things are wonderful. Those things are, but we don't want to stay right there. There's more for us. We don't want to stay with 200, 250 people, though it's wonderful to have that number of folks. But there's more people who need Christ. There's more people who need a church to connect with. We don't want to just stay inside this building. We want to go beyond our community, wherever God has called us. We want to take the next step. I mean, do you know where the next step for you is? God has a next step for you. God has another place for you. It may mean it doesn't necessarily you're going to need to change addresses or move out of town, but the Lord has another place for you in his call on your life. Don't get tied up in chains. Some of you had God do something powerful in your life years ago. You started on a journey, and for some reason, you got sidetracked, and you took a detour, and you've never gotten back to where you need to be, and you've never come to the place where you believe that what God has spoken to you and what God wanted to do in your life, that you can come back and say, God, I've wasted some time here, and I've missed the mark a little bit, and I've been a little distracted right here, but I'm telling you right now, I'm getting myself back into position to say, Lord, what you put in my heart, I still believe you called me to do, and by your grace, I'm going to do it. You're going to do that in my life. Once some of us get up a little bit older, especially when you start getting those wonderful little Medicare notifications and things in there, once you get to that place, you say, all right, it's been good. I've been good. I've lived a lot of years. That's wonderful. But it's time now just for me to lie back and take it easy. Now it's time for, you know, I'm just kind of tired. God wants to say to the older folks, it's time to get refired. It's time for you to see that you're not through yet. Whether you're 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, you're not through yet. And for those that are younger and for our kids, life for you in many ways is just beginning, and don't miss what God has for you. I think that two avenues for the great revival and awakening ahead, two of them is going to be worship and it's going to be through the kids, the youth. Be willing to get out of your comfort zone and be willing to take radical steps of faith. Be willing to take radical steps of faith. Genuine faith waits for God to reveal his plan, to learn, to wait, learn, to listen, so vitally important. I know we've seen this time and time again, and many of us experience it with our children, with our grandchildren. I think it was the last week or two. I saw a little one up here on the platform and saw a dad that was here. And he was down here and he had his arms stretched out and saying, jump, jump to me. You know, And so the little one somehow or another gotten up here on the platform and wanted to jump. And so she said, come on, jump. And I noticed that little one would kind of, you know, like that, wanting to touch them. But finally, what? Jumped. With a child and someone that they can trust, a child and a father, it takes a step of radical faith, if you will. It means you have faith in your Father. It means you don't believe He'll drop you. It means you can trust Him completely to catch you. And you just jump. For some of us, it's time for us to jump. God said, come on. I say, oh, Lord, I don't know. I don't know. He says, come on, it's time to jump. Peter, sometimes, you know, well, Peter gets criticized a lot, but he was quite a man of God. He got criticized for denying the Lord 3 times, and I understand that was an awful thing. Criticized the Lord for kind of being presumptuous when Jesus said, well, get thee behind me, Satan. Criticized for his doubt because he was walking on water, and then he began to sink. Listen, we can criticize Peter for that if we want to, but he's the only one that got out of the boat. He took a radical step of faith that the others wouldn't. And he said, Jesus, is that you? Tell me to come to you. And he stepped out, and everything was just great. This is such a simple, powerful truth. Everything was great as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus and his goal. But when he paid more attention to the waves and the wind and the storm around him, he began to sink. And his only answer was to look again to the Lord and let the Lord lift him up. Look, be willing to take radical steps of faith in your life. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says that it's impossible to please God without faith. And whoever comes to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. One of the great passages of Scripture, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and seek his will in all that you do. And he will direct your paths. He will show you which path to take. That is positioning you for blessing. It's throughout the Scripture. That's what God wants to do in our lives. Obey his word. The prophet said, you can go fix something, but first, go do what you said, but bake something for me first. That sounds very selfish. How could anyone have the heart when a woman's about to feed her son, they're going to die after that because they're starving to death, for him to say, bake me something first? Because he knew, he had a word from God, and he knew that if she would respond in faith to this, that God had a greater provision and blessing for her. Many of us are not experiencing the supernatural because we're limiting ourselves to the natural. Many of us are not experiencing the supernatural because we have not learned the miraculous things that happen when we become givers. Extraordinary giving. Giving unlocks the storehouse of God. Because she was willing to give first, according to what the Lord said, if she'd not been willing to do that, she would have done exactly what she said. She would have eaten, given a little to her son, and they would have died of starvation. But she listened and said yes to what she believed was the word of the Lord. She obeyed. You don't think obedience is important? She obeyed and did exactly what God told her to do. And she was willing not to say, well, we'll just divide it by three. We'll fix some for a little for me and a little for my son, and then I'll save just a little for you. Some people give in ministry that way. I'll give to everything else, or I'll pay all my bills. I'll use the money, everything. I'll take care of everything I want and need, and then whatever's left over, if there's anything, then yeah, I'll give that to ministry. I'll give that to the Lord. Not how giving works to the Scripture. Giving the Scripture is always first. You study the Scripture sometimes and find out how many first things they are. And God deserves and expects the first. The firstborn was so very important when you read the Scripture. You bring your tithes to the Lord. Your giving goes to Him first. Jesus said, seek you first the kingdom of God, God's will, God's way. And then what? Everything else that you need, all the provisions there, will be added to you. But I don't know. You know, I talk to people from time to time. They're very fearful that, yes, I really want to give more. Yes, I really want to give, Pastor. But, you know, I've got this, and I just can't afford it right now. The truth is, if you'll get God's word in you in faith and know that he's your provision, not just your job, not just whatever check you get in the mail, that he's your provision, what's going to happen is something's going to go off down inside of you that says, Lord, I will trust in you completely. All of this belongs to you, so what is the big deal of giving you the first part of what you've blessed me with? People can get wrangling over where they should give a tenth of all their income or is just talking about gross or net, and people get, you know, should I, do I? Some people get their tithe right down, what they believe their tithe, right down to the cent, you know, dollars and cents. And if that's okay, I mean, that's okay. If that's settled in your heart, that's okay. But that's not really the spirit of the giver. The spirit of the giver is saying, how much more can I give? How much more, Lord, do you want me to give? This already belongs to you, is the first part. And let me tell you what, if you use the first 90%, and expect the 10% to take care of everything, it won't. But if you'll give the 10% first, that 90% will be multiplied and multiplied and multiplied, just like the flour, just like the oil, because you were willing to say, Lord, I trust you. You deserve my best. You deserve the first. But you may have to take a radical step, and you may have to come out of your comfort zone. But this is important. And this is the focus of this is not on money, though money is involved. Finance is involved. You know who I am as your pastor. You know we don't get up and pass plates or beg for money in any way. But that it is so important for us to learn that giving and having the right attitude of giving in our life absolutely opens the way for God to bless you in a more extraordinary way. Not only that, but it's going to bless a lot of other folks too. The last thing is that when your book dries up, it's important to learn to connect to others, connect to those that God brings into your life. Amazing as it may seem, the great prophet Elijah needed the widow. And the widow needed Elijah. We're not supposed to do this thing alone as believers. We're not supposed to do it just by ourselves. We need one another. The church is about one another. Sometimes God supplies your needs through the most unlikely person or source. We need the right people in our lives. I'm going to say that one more time so that you can let it settle deep inside. You and I need to have the right people in our life and connect with them so that we grow spiritually, so that we learn, so that we see opportunities of ministry that are out there with them, and so that God does what he wants to do in our life. You know, when your brook dries, when things don't go your way, when trouble comes your way, what do you do? The disciples were in the midst of the storm. They called on Jesus and there was peace. Mary and Martha were weeping over their brother Lazarus. They were at Lazarus' tomb, and what did they do? They experienced the one who said, I am the resurrection. A woman with the issue of blood for all those years said, if I'll touch the hem of his garment, I get a hold of the covenant of God and the promise of God, I will be healed. Paul and Silas locked down in a dark dungeon of a prison in the worst circumstances, treated unjustly. They just didn't treat me right. People mistreat me. Locked in a dark dungeon. What did they do at midnight? They praised and worshiped the Lord, and they were miraculously delivered and set free. There are times in your life when it seems as if the brook dries up. There's times in your life when it's time for you to adjust. There are times in your life where God wants to do something more than what's going on now. And the important thing for you and for me is to be willing to hear him and do what he says. And move out into the next place of blessing that God's called us to. Yes? Amen. You receive that? Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? I want to pray over you before we go. Lord, we're so grateful for the wonderful experience of today, hearing, Lord, how you are blessing and touching lives, saving lives, Lord. The many different ways, Lord, that your word's going out, people's lives are being saved and blessed. So thankful, Lord, for the ministry of Save a Life and Hope. So grateful for the ministry, Lord, of Covenant Life Bolivia and those that stand and declare your word every week. So grateful for the opportunity to be together as a body of believers here in this place. I pray that today we have put ourselves in a place to allow you to speak to us, and we have ears to hear. And Lord, we're willing to do what you say do. There is so much more out there for you. Folks, I need to know that. There's so much more that God has for us. There's so much more that God wants to do in your life, and so much that he wants to do through you as you reach out to others around you, to your neighborhood, to your community. Father, I pray right now that as we have received your word today, that we'll be quick to respond to it and say, yes, Lord, here I am. I'm not going to be confined to the past. I'm going to hear this fresh and new word from me today. And I'm going to allow you to lead me so that I continue to walk this year being where you've called me to be, doing what you've called me to do, knowing that in all of this, Lord, it puts me in a position of great abundance and blessing. That's what we declare. That's what we believe. Now may your hand be upon each one that's here today. Lord, may your power work in their lives, and may this week be a week, Lord, where they experience your presence, where they learn to walk in greater faith, and Lord, where all of us learn to trust you completely. That's our prayer. Thank you for that blessing now in Jesus' name. Everybody in the house says,